Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee and bow before thee with our hearts, with our heads and our eyes closed. Lord, we turn unto thee, the giver of life, the source of all truth and of love unending. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy and for thy kindness, for bringing us together into this house of worship to open up thy word, thy precious word of life, to satisfy our need for our inner man, that we might be fed by thy truth, and that thou would gently lead and direct thy children, and that thy word would be proclaimed, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to direct and instruct us in thy ways of truth, for thy honor and thy glory, and for the edification of our faith. We thank thee, and we pray that thou would help us, O Lord, with no reservations, yield ourselves unto thee and bring our whole hearts before thee. Recognize how open and exposed we are before thee, and allow the powerful word of life to penetrate and do its work in time to save, O Lord. For that is thy intent and thy desire. Not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and acknowledgement of the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the honor and glory of God our Father. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's help, a desire that we would turn together and read from the book of Genesis, chapter 40. Genesis, chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against his two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I'd like to just read the first verse of the next chapter as well. And it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. I'd like to conclude with. The chapter that we've read begins with the words, and it came to pass after these things. The things that happened before were that Joseph was a servant in Potiphar's house, and he was falsely accused and sent to a prison. After being a faithful servant, he was treated harshly and was sent into this, it's called a dungeon in this chapter. But the Lord was with him, and we don't know exactly how much time transpired between when he was put into prison, but there came a day when 2 other servants of Pharaoh were brought into the prison, the chief baker and the chief butler. And the captain of the guard, the one who was in charge of the prison, put Joseph in charge of these 2, and it says that he served them while he was there. And the things that Joseph did, even while he was in prison, the Lord blessed. And this, the majority of this chapter discusses the dreams that the men had. And Joseph came to let them know that God could interpret the dreams and asked them to explain them. He did so. They did so, and he gave an explanation, and we see in the end of the chapter that they happened exactly as the Lord had provided to Joseph. We've heard this story many times from Sunday school, from when our parents taught us at home. Even as we prayed, it's not just a story of things that happened long ago. There are lessons for our faith. There are experiences of mankind that are brought out in the Scripture that are very relevant to us today. You have these two men that did not know God. They are given a small glimpse or some insight into what their future might hold. But they don't understand. And they have no one to guide them or explain the meaning of the road before them. And the Bible says that these two men were sad. That is what this world is like, by and large. Men and women who don't know God, who maybe have a small glimpse of what lies ahead for them, but they don't understand life. And they're sad. And my friend, you are also with them. And we see the effects of this hopeless condition in this world. Men and women that are struggling with anxiety and depression, and are sad. And says there's no one who can help. That's a reason to be sad. When there's no hope. But Joseph has a word for them. And the word of God has something to remind each of us today. Do not interpretations belong to God? These men wanted an explanation of their dream because they felt that that would give them an explanation and reason for their life. And we are reminded that when we ponder the steps of our feet, when we ask the questions, why am I here? Who am I supposed to be? That we would remember it's God Himself that can provide the answer. He's the only one we can turn to, because He has made us, and not we ourselves. God has made us, and if we have a desire to understand the reason for life, the reason for the circumstance that you are in, the reason for pain and suffering, we need to turn to the Word of God. It's with God alone that we will find purpose, reason, meaning to life. This account has a parallel account in the Gospel of Luke. At the end of his gospel, I'd like to read several verses. Again, a familiar account. And it has many similarities. Of the two that were going to Emmaus, In Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13, we find an account in the New Testament that parallels quite nicely and goes a little bit deeper into what specifically we need to look to find reason and purpose. Beginning with verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. In this passage, we have two men who knew the Lord. And they were walking together in the way, and they were sad. Yet Jesus comes to them and directs their hearts to the truth of the word. And directs their hearts and their thoughts to Calvary. There is a lot of confusion in this world about what man is supposed to be and what he's supposed to pursue. But at the cross of Jesus Christ, When we fix our attention upon our suffering Savior, there is great clarity that is revealed to our hearts. You may think about your situation in life and feel that you've been done wrong. Joseph could have said that too. But how much of self lasts when we truly take to heart what Jesus Christ has suffered for us? Did he really mean that I'm supposed to follow him? Do I really believe that that's where he wants me to go? If we want the answer of the questions of life and our purpose and what is praiseworthy in God's sight, we need to go to the cross. We need to remember what took place there. We need to linger and spend time. Apostle Paul clearly knew and taught Timothy that Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's brought life and immortality to light. He's brought that which was unclear and obscure in meaning, and he's brought it to the light. He's made it plain. And man's heart resists it and doesn't want to see. But these two that knew the Lord were taught by the Lord about how this is how it needed to take place, according to Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures concerning Jesus Christ himself. And something takes place as God brings forth the interpretation, the meaning, and the reason. Their hearts change. Their hearts change. They are pricked, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" When we open the scripture, the word of life, God is talking to us by the way, wanting to point us to the cross and to the teachings of Jesus Christ contained in the gospel that bring life and immortality to light, to bring out of the lies and the obscurity and the relativism of this world and its teachings and its values. We can clearly see what is in God's sight of great price and great value. So why are these men who know the Lord sad? They are sad because of what's going on in their mind. They said, we had trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They saw the crucifixion. They knew what had happened. They anticipated a worldly king to redeem the nation of Israel. And Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that if we have hope in Christ only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if we cling to Christ, we can either cling to Christ or we can cling to the name. And if we cling to a name in hopes of all the things that we will get in this life, we will have access to certain social groups. We'll have certain praise among men. We'll get some esteem from family who sees, yes, I'm living uprightly, or I'm following and checking the boxes that somebody else expects of me. That is a nominal Christianity, of course. You can tell, obviously. And if all of the things that I seek to gain are in this life, Jesus says, you'll have your reward. Just like the Pharisees, they had their rewards. They sought the praise of men, and they got it. But they were miserable. And the word says, if we are pursuing a faith that is only good for this life and the enjoyments of this life and is just focused on temporal kingdom instead of the eternal kingdom of God, and which teaches us to give up all of those things that are temporary pleasures, to give up the praise of men and their kind words and thoughts, to give up the riches and the pleasures, to be crucified with Christ. If we do not, we will be of all men most miserable. And so that's why these men are sad. Even though they knew Christ, they were sad because their religion only was on this earth. They had no concept for dying and the victory that comes through dying. Jesus won the victory over death and showed us the way. And as you, my friend, and as we, brothers and sisters, as we struggle with the challenges to our faith and the temptations to sin, we're going to fail and we're not going to have victory unless we die to ourselves and die to sin so that it wouldn't have power over us. And we allow Jesus Christ, who shows us the way, who gives us his example, to live through us instead of me and what I can do. This faith made the hearts of these two apostles, these followers of Jesus, to burn within them. This got them passionate and excited. And they did not forget Jesus. They did not forget Jesus like these two men forgot Joseph for 2 years. No, they went immediately to Jerusalem. They told the apostles what had happened. And they rejoiced. Because they were coming together around a vision of what Jesus Christ was establishing for the purpose of his church and for the hearts of mankind. Salvation and freedom. Hope of eternal life. And also a mission. A mission to declare the word without reservation and without holding back of what Jesus Christ has done, and that he is forging the way for mankind to be reunited with God, our Creator. There's a beautiful passage in Proverbs chapter 3 that teaches us a little bit about how we can look to God for instruction and have our hearts in a place where we're ready to receive what he has to share with us as he talks with us, by the way. Solomon writes, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord and do not lean to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is calling each of us to a life of devotion and dedication in pursuing and seeking and asking and knocking for the Lord to direct us. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In everything that we do, do we show in my ways and in your ways, I have learned what I am doing from Jesus Christ. The things that I am doing, the things that I'm saying, the thoughts that I am pondering, they are for Jesus Christ. And the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and the actions that are done, they are through Jesus Christ. Can I say that about myself? That is the probing word of the scripture that comes to me with questions as it presents the way. Am I there? Or have I been resisting? Have I been pretending to follow Jesus Christ? Have I been following him half-heartedly? Or just enough so that the people around me think I'm a pretty good Christian? And I have their praise, and yes, I'm safe. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Recognize him. Make him known, and he shall direct thy paths. He is looking to transform our heart by the word as he is bringing us to the cross, but he's also looking for all of our hearts, all of our love and all of our devotion to be dedicated to him. It's very simple. It's a very simple word that's in Deuteronomy chapter 29, perhaps the last scripture to look at as we consider this, these things that the Lord wants to open up the reason for life and the purpose for our existence. He's doing so through the Word. He is teaching us and focusing our thoughts and focusing our life to the cross. And he is desiring for us to have a full life of dedication and devotion unto him. And the warnings are also in the scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, the Lord warns the people about the curses that would come upon them if they would deviate from the word of God, if they would go and follow in their own understanding, if they would do the things we would say today, the things that Jesus Christ has taught us to avoid, or if we would do the things that Jesus Christ has not taught us to do. It speaks of curses. It speaks of an overthrow of them. Why? Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them, and went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. And the final verse of this chapter says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There's a lot of things that we don't know and we're not made aware of. We might not have a dream that tells us about the future. We might not know everything clearly about what will come, but we're given the warnings in God's Word, and we're given the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that is enough for us to build our faith and life upon, such that we will not be overcome in the last day and in the day of trial. So the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There's a lot that we don't know. And there's a lot of confusion in this world that makes people sad, anxious, and depressed. But we have the Word of God. And it's given to us to keep and to pass down to our children, that we might abide in Him. As we reflect upon life, its meaning, and what is obscure to us, may the Holy Spirit gently guide our attention and our focus back to the things that we know for sure, that are found in Jesus Christ, His teachings, His life, His death, and His resurrection, through which we find hope and salvation. May God bless His word. Amen.